In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear canons, very dear faithful, today for our final homily in this year's preparatory novena for the Feast of St. Joseph, we will look at the altar, the Holy of Holies. As we enter a church, after crossing the threshold, we penetrate into the nave of cathedrals, or even the most modest of churches of former times, and we are fascinated and overcome by a sober drunkenness spoken of by Cistercian mystics. The temple acts like a charm, for in it we feel the throbbing of a harmonious soul, whose rhythm, coming to meet us, prolongs, transcends, and sublimates our own living rhythm, and even the rhythm of the world in which it flows. The center from which everything radiates and towards which everything converges is the altar. It is the most sacred object in the temple. The reason for its existence and even its essence, even when the divine liturgy is celebrated in another place than the church, it cannot be without an altar stone. The altar is mentioned with the beginning of Psalm 42, Introibo ad altare Dei, I will go unto the altar of God, placing us before this sacred object from the beginning of the Mass. The altar is the table, the stone of the sacrifice, which is the only means for fallen humanity to make contact with God. The altar is the place of this contact, for it is upon the altar that God comes to us and we can go to Him. It is the holiest object in the temple, since we bow before it, kiss it, and incense it. It is the rallying point, the center of the congregation. Corresponding to this outer gathering of the assembly is an inner one, a union of all souls gathered to worship, united with the stone of the altar. It is important that stone is used for the altar, since it lines up with other primordial symbols of natural temples, such as the trees, water, and fire, which become the pillars, the fonts, and the sanctuary lamp in a Christian church. The Christian altar is the successor and especially the synthesis of the Hebrew altars. It derives its sublimity from its conformity to its celestial archetype, the altar of the heavenly Jerusalem, where rests the Lamb slain from the beginning of the world. In the book of Exodus, chapter 24, we read of Moses building an altar at the foot of Mount Sinai, offering sacrifice, dividing the blood into two parts, offering one to God by pouring it upon the altar, and the other to the people who were sprinkled with it, thus sealing the pact between God and His people, the Old Testament. In a similar way, on our altar, the blood of the new covenant is poured out, offered to the Lord, and then distributed to the people, sealing the reconciliation of the sinner with God. In the Temple of Jerusalem, there were several altars. Between the courts and the sanctuary was the altar of Holocaust. Each day, the sacrifice of the lamb was offered here. Within the sanctuary was the altar of incense, together with its seven-branched candlestick and the table of the showbread, the bread of offering. Finally, in the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, a sacred stone was placed, the Shetiyah stone, upon which the ark rested. In the Christian temple, which replaced that of Jerusalem, the main altar is the synthesis of these different altars. First, it is the altar of Holocaust, where the Lamb of God is sacrificed. And at the same time, it is the table of the showbread, the Eucharistic bread. Secondly, it is also the altar of fragrance, where the incense is burned, as clearly brought out in the ritual for the consecration of the altar. Finally, it also plays the role of the Shetiyah stone, supporting the ark, in the sense that it supports the tabernacle. Now, for the Hebrews, the word tabernacle designates their ensemble, formed by the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies. The actual tabernacle, thus, is the temple in miniature. However, above all, it represents the ark both in its small dimensions and in its role. In the Ark of the Covenant was placed the tables of the law, the rod of Aaron, and a measure of manna. The Shekinah, the glory or divine presence, was manifested between the cherubim. In the Christian tabernacle rests the true manna, the living bread descended from heaven. The little curtains in front of the tabernacle represent both the tent of the desert and the veil hiding the Holy of Holies. The Christian sanctuary is the successor and synthesis of the Hebrew one. This goes against all those who deny all parallels of this kind and claim to demonstrate that the Christian sanctuary has no connection with those of salvation history. It is important, even in the face of forgetfulness and neglect, that we remember that the sanctuary and the altar have a sacred and fearful character. The divinity is really enthroned behind the veil. Terribilis est locus isti. The great preface of the Roman Pontifical for the consecration of the altar ritually connects the Christian altars to all the Hebrew altars, those of Moses, Jacob, and Abraham. In fact, it goes far beyond and connects to all the altars of humanity from the beginning of the world, from the altar of Abel through that of Melchizedek. The Christian altar concretizes the whole religious history of the world. It is heir to a great and venerable tradition. But there is more. The earthly altar derives its sublime and sacred character from its conformance to its heavenly archetype. Just as the earthly liturgy imitates the heavenly, as described in the Apocalypse, our earthly altar is a symbol of the heavenly one. The Sursum Corda is an invitation to contemplate the eternal archetype of the visible liturgy. Theodore of Mopsuesta says of the Eucharistic sacrifice, since these are the signs of the realities of heaven that it accomplishes symbolically, it is necessary that it should also manifest them. And the pontiff creates a kind of image of the liturgy that takes place in heaven. The celebrant therefore reproduces the service celebrated by Christ, who adorned with his own blood, penetrates into the tabernacle that has not been made by human hands, the tabernacle of the heavenly Jerusalem. In the canon of the Roman Mass, as we will see in a few moments, the priest beseeches God Almighty to cause these offerings to be borne on high by the hands of thy holy angel to thine sublime altar in the presence of thy divine majesty. All this is to describe the altar from the outside. To understand the symbolism of the altar from within, we have to return to the introit of the Mass of the dedication of the church, to Jacob's anointing of the Bethel stone, after his dream of the angels ascending and descending a ladder from earth to heaven. In Genesis chapter 28, when he awoke, he exclaimed, "Terrible is this place. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven." He then poured oil upon a stone, consecrating it and making it an altar. In the ritual of the consecration of an altar, the bishop pouring holy oils upon the stone repeats the gesture of the patriarch Jacob. The prayers recall Jacob's consecration of the altar, thus ritually assimilating the altar to the stone of Jacob. Through the rite of consecration, the Christian altar becomes the center of the world. There is an axis between it and heaven. It becomes the site of a theophany, the place where God manifests himself. This is the place that the Son of God chose to offer himself for us, since it is said in the Psalms, "But God is our King before the ages, working salvation in the center of the earth." We read in Psalm 73. Through this sacrifice, Jesus reopens communication with God, opening the gate of heaven at the summit of Jacob's ladder, and makes the temple a Bethel, a house of God. Tradition has it that in the temple of Jerusalem, the stone of Bethel consecrated by Jacob was the foundation of the Holy of Holies. This is the stone upon which God manifests himself on the earth. The sacrifices offered in the temple of Jerusalem were a prefiguration of the sacrifice of the Mass. There is also an interesting comparison to Jacob's ladder in the words of Christ in the Gospel of St. John. "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man," which we can read in the first chapter of St. John. In the same Gospel, our Lord says, "I am the door of heaven. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Thus, the altar in a Christian church represents Christ himself. Expanded fully, it also represents his mystical body because of the relics of saints embedded in it. The fathers of the church did not hesitate to push this symbolism even further. Since the altar is the ritual and symbolical center of the church, it represents the Sacred Heart. Durand de Monde, a 13th century commentator on the liturgy, could say, "The heart is the center of the body, as the altar is in the middle of the church." Jesus Christ is the center of his mystical body, like a living heart, which through its blood infuses life into all the members. The heart is at the same time the place of his infinite love, an ontological center of his person and of the whole body. The altar unites all the members of the body to itself as in their center, in the microcosm of the temple. The altar represents this heart of God, from where the Lord has made his creative action felt in all directions of the world. The altar is the true center of the church building, from which all its architectural components radiate. The central position of the altar at the very place of the heart also determines its role in the spiritual life of each one of us who come here to worship. The altar is likened to our hearts, and it is upon this altar of the heart that we must enact our daily sacrifices. The altar is therefore the figure of the mortification of the heart, in which all movements of the flesh are consumed by the fervor of the Spirit. In the book of Leviticus, the chosen people are instructed to keep a fire burning at all times in the temple. In the New Testament, this should be likened to the virtue of charity in our hearts, a flame that can only be lit by fire brought down by Jesus Christ himself. whose sacred heart is the burning furnace of charity. This should bring us to our prayer to Saint Joseph, written by Saint Francis de Sales, in which we beseech our great patron for our needs through the heart of Jesus Christ, the very source of love. Let us not hesitate to invoke him and also Our Lady, the gate of heaven, to bring us ever closer to Jesus by teaching us to sacrifice our wills and our desires upon the altars of our hearts, thereby climbing the ladder from the altar to the gate of heaven. Our Lady, gate of heaven, pray for us. Saint Joseph, protector of Holy Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.